Everyone likes to talk about Ethereum killers and the next platform that is going to come out and dethrone Ethereum as the ICO or general purpose computing platform of choice. My name is Crypto Bobby. Today, let's dive into some excellent, excellent research that is something that I came across today on Twitter and wanted to share it with you because I think while everybody likes to talk about the five cryptocurrencies that are going to moon and this and that and all that other BS, if you actually can take the time to do a little bit of research, you are going to be so much better off. And I want to talk about this research that has made it a lot easier, at least in my mind, to develop somewhat of a better understanding of the competitors to Ethereum, the quote-unquote Ethereum killers out there, like EOS, like Cardano, like NEO, and a few others that we will get into today. Also talk about some other general market movements, but let's get into all of that research. Let's go. So first of all, a shout out to Spencer Noon, who is the one that tweeted out this series of articles previously. And this is something that was on the Bitcoin.pub. And it's a series of Medium articles from this one individual. His name is Ed Posnack. It started in early September and has extended out to about December, January timeframe. And basically, what Ed has done is he's created this Medium post series of well-researched articles on the origin of these smart contract platforms that in many respects are the quote-unquote Ethereum killers or the Ethereum competitors. And as you can see within the article, I will post a link to every single one of these articles in the YouTube and podcast descriptions, and I would highly, highly, highly recommend you go into these articles in full depth, especially if you are putting any money into these or thinking about putting any money into these. But one of the big things, and I think it's nice to mention, so he says, at the present time, Ethereum is thriving. It is obviously the second most dominant coin by market cap outside of Bitcoin. Has a large and growing ecosystem of dApps or decentralized applications, tools, developers, corporations, and it is right now the preferred home to have an initial coin offering or to run an ICO. But with all the good things, being the second largest cryptocurrency, having a massive ecosystem of dApps, those tools, developers, all that good stuff, Ethereum is also the home of the DAO hack. There was also a contentious hard fork between Ethereum and Ethereum Classic. There was the parity multisig wallet bug that has put over, you know, $200 million at risk right now, and they're trying to figure out what the heck to do with that. There have been a lot of things that have happened with Ethereum that have not been so great, and there's also this big issue of scalability right now. And there are multiple platforms and solutions out there that are trying to beat Ethereum at its own game right now. And it is a big, that's kind of the multi-billion dollar question is, can Ethereum figure things out quick enough before these other solutions, before these other protocols, before these other cryptocurrencies can beat it? And that's what you want to, now, if you're looking at crypto right now, that is one of the big things that you want to try to determine and potentially make some level of a, an investment or a bet on. As you can see over here, so I'll pop over to on-chain FX as we're looking about, you know, as we're looking at this. But when you look at the general purpose computing platforms, the ones that are covered in this articles, in these articles, there are five cryptocurrencies or platforms that are covered, smart contract solutions that are covered there. But you can see over here on-chain FX, there's actually 13 general purpose platforms, and there's some other ones out there. I don't think Stellar is included in this list. It's categorized in another manner. But when you look at the market capitalization of Ethereum at $94 billion right now, pretty much just shy of $100 billion again, Cardano at $10 billion, NEO at $8 billion, EOS at $6 billion, all of which are included in this series of articles, there is a massive gap right now presently between Ethereum at $95 billion and Cardano at 10 or NEO at 8 or EOS at 6. So the logical question too, as you're evaluating this and as you continue to evaluate this, because obviously the evaluation does not end when you read one Medium article, no matter how good or in-depth it might be. But the logical question there might be, okay, if Ethereum is right now $95 billion, is there going to be something that will be more heavily utilized in the future, or can Ethereum continue to scale up and outpace the innovation of these other, you know, of these other competitors? And that is what, hopefully, by doing some of your own research on this, you will be able to determine as we go through this. So getting back to that point here, there are a lot of interesting points that go into the discussion around these smart contract players, whether it is the general purpose programming languages, the scalability that is vital to the success of Ethereum, or anything else that is basically anything else that is being built to compete with it, the level of decentralization, governance as well. There are so many different components, and each one of these projects is kind of approaching things in a different manner. And the five that are listed in this series by Ed Posnack. And again, I didn't write it, so if your favorite general purpose platform Ethereum competitor is not included in that list, don't yell at me. Don't yell at Ed, because I'm sure he's doing his own research as well, but it's just not included. So don't say why you know Stellar or whatever. But the five that are included are Tezos, Neo, Cardano, EOS, and Dfinity. And we'll talk a little bit about each one of them. And the way he's approached it, the way Ed has approached it, as he has created a kind of color-coded threat level to Ethereum, which is interesting. There is an underdog, there is a challenger, antagonist, invader, and extinguisher. An underdog being there's an outside chance that there's an outside, or there's basically no chance that this platform can beat Ethereum. Challenger, it's promising, it's possible. There are some interesting innovations. Antagonist, it's got a good shot. Invader, it's already happening. It's displacing Ethereum. And Extinguisher is it's literally going to kill Ethereum. As a heads up, as we're getting into this, there are no invaders, extinguishers, or antagonists. Everything is so early on that it's impossible to say, hey, this is literally extinguishing Ethereum right now, because that's not happening at all. Although some of these articles are a little bit older, we can definitely get into all of that. So the first one that we can look at real quick is Tezos. And Tezos is interesting. This is an article from September 26th. And Tezos is interesting because there are a couple different points with Tezos. The first of which is it's kind of been around for quite some time, and the people behind Tezos are fairly well respected. But when you're looking at Tezos, kind of what I gathered from this is, number one, the pros of it is they have this programming language called Mikkelsen, which from Ed's point of view here is something that, from Ed's point of view, it is something that is potentially a much safer solution from a programming, from a smart contract development standpoint, than something like Solidity is, which is what Ethereum uses when it comes to writing smart contracts and programs on the Ethereum network. The Mikkelsen language for Tezos is supposed to be a much safer version of that. However, when it comes to Tezos, they are utilizing a brand new delegated proof of stake solution and new versions of on-chain governance. And while that sounds fantastic in theory, it is largely unproven. So there are certain elements of vulnerability or potential vulnerabilities because they have not been proven out. Now, one of the big things too, this article is from September 26th. I don't remember exactly where all the issues with Tezos came between Tezos and the Tezos Foundation, but that is not really spoken about in this article. So you want to take anything said in regards to Tezos with a grain of salt, because there have been, for a platform that is trying to solve governance, they haven't necessarily solved governance between Tezos development and the Tezos Foundation, which is the foundation that holds all the funds from their ICO. So that is something you certainly want to take into account as you continue to look forward here. Now, going down to the bottom, to the conclusion, and we'll see here, the dominance slash threat level of Tezos was back in September considered to be a challenger by Ed. So said that essentially Tezos is a promising solution and has some potentially disruptive elements to their platform over something like Ethereum. So definitely something to check out there. Tezos is not traded publicly outside of, I believe, Tezos futures on a couple different exchanges right now. But for the most part, if you participated in the Tezos ICO, or if you would like to buy Tezos after you look at this, Tezos is not publicly traded. Tezos are not publicly traded. So something to take into mind. The second one that Ed looked into was Neo, everybody's favorite, or a lot of people's favorite Neo out there. And
a very solid read on Neo, about 13 minutes on Medium. And again, I will link to this post below as well. But with Neo, two of the big points. So from a pros perspective with Neo, Neo is supporting a large number of general purpose programming languages. And that will allow the community, because they're not just supporting Solidity, or they're not just supporting some very specific version of a new programming language, that will allow for, hopefully, theoretically, that will allow for faster adoption of Neo. And I do think we're seeing that right now. This article was written back on October 29th. We are now seeing initial coin offerings, ICOs, and distributed applications, dApps that are being run on Neo. So I think in a lot of respects, the pros of Neo that were mentioned in this article actually have come to fruition in terms of some of the general purpose programming languages behind Neo that are speeding up adoption over some of the other competitors that are trying to take market share from Ethereum. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, one of the big criticisms of Neo, which is also mentioned in this Medium article, is that Neo is relying, at least for the time being, Neo is significantly more centralized than something like Ethereum. Neo is much more centralized than something like Ethereum right now, and that level of centralization is beneficial in some respects because it is allowing for higher performance on the, you know, within the Neo network. However, you have to take there is a large trade-off between performance and decentralization right now on Neo. So that is one of the big drawbacks that Ed had mentioned. And because of that, and because of some other reasons as well, Ed has said it's an extremely ambitious project. There's a lot of innovation going on, but he found Neo to actually be an underdog. So not necessarily showing the ability or the opportunity to displace Ethereum or have some type of global dominance there. So Neo was actually rated below Tezos on that scale. Now, the next one is Cardano. I've personally spoken to, perhaps you've seen my interview with Charles Hoskinson. A lot of people have spoken about Cardano in the past. I've been a fan of Cardano. So this was interesting to dive into as well. And on the smart contract platform ecosystem, this is one that, similar to what Charles had echoed, they're taking a very research-driven academic approach to creating their platform and creating their ecosystem. And they are trying to, do a couple different things, that trying to learn from the mistakes of Bitcoin and of Ethereum to build a better, more scalable solution with built-in governance. Now, a couple of the pros that we saw here from Cardano within this article are talking about the research-driven, the academic-driven approach, and what they consider to be a provably secure proof-of-stake protocol. Now, however, when it gets to the cons, they do bring up the fact that it still remains to be seen whether Ouroboros at scale is really able to secure a global permissionless network. That is one of the big things that Ed talks about, is while Ouroboros sounds fantastic in academic theory, it does remain to be seen whether Cardano's proof of stake solution is really provably, is really secure in the long run. And once it gets to scale, can it meet the needs of a global network? So Cardano was interesting to dive through this. And again, I highly recommend you go through the entire process of reading this. It's a 15-minute read. So maybe you could take these in bits and pieces. Don't have to read them all at once. But as you scroll down here, so we'll pop down to the bottom. So Cardano, from Ed's perspective, was again listed as a challenger. So in the same vein as Tezos, in that challenger, saying there is promising elements and potentially disruptive innovations to compete with Ethereum. So Tezos and Cardano were both ranked above Neo in that regard. And again, this is just me passing along information to you. This is not specifically me saying I necessarily agree with this one way or another. And the fourth one that we can dive into that you want to take a look at here is EOS. EOS is, in a lot of respects, seen as a direct competitor to not only Ethereum, but Cardano, because there is that whole rivalry between Charles Hoskinson and Dan Larimer. Perhaps they don't really like each other too much after having worked with each other on some previous projects and trying to accomplish something pretty similar here. But from the standpoint of EOS, so as we drop down here, from the standpoint of EOS, what will kind of pop down, and you can see in the conclusion, but EOS is trying to really address the issue of scalability with Ethereum. Ethereum struggles massively with scalability right now. As you can see with CryptoKitties, when you launch digital cats on the Ethereum blockchain, that can throw the entire network out of whack for a couple days. Back in the kind of ICO heydays when companies were doing main sales, the ICOs of something like a Status or a 10X or a basic attention token basically shut down the Ethereum network for 24, 36 hours as there were all these transactions that were trying to clear through. So EOS is really focusing heavily on scalability and a formalized governance process that can improve things, that can more heavily improve upon what Ethereum is doing. However, there are definitely some There's a very different approach to what EOS is doing, where you have elected delegates that are kind of in charge of the network, and you place trust in those elected delegates to support the trust and to run from a security perspective everything moving forward. And there are, depending upon how well that level of elected delegates works, they talk about either, if it works well enough to defend the network with so much value on it, EOS can really deliver some incredible advancements in scalability and governance and a level of decentralization. However, if the elected delegates, if that simply doesn't work, then EOS could potentially become a public blockchain that is basically just controlled by a bunch of, 18 to 20 wealthy people, and that would destroy the confidence in the platform as a whole. So that's definitely something to take a look. This is definitely from this article. This is probably one of the more critical. This is probably one of the more critical articles that I've seen. This individual write, saying that EOS is any platform that can deliver significantly better smart contract security than Ethereum has an excellent shot at becoming dominant. Basically, saying this author believes that one of the biggest vulnerabilities outside of just scalability, but one of the biggest vulnerabilities of Ethereum is that the smart contract language, writing smart contracts with Solidity, deploying smart contracts is not necessarily secure, and that is a massive vulnerability for Ethereum. This the author does not necessarily believe that EOS is going to be the platform that will make smart contracts more secure. And due to that, this individual says that EOS is an underdog because of that. So it's definitely an interesting, an interesting thing there, saying both Tezos and Cardano are in this challenger level of kind of more promising, whereas NEO and EOS both don't necessarily show a clear sign to dominance, to beat Ethereum. The last one, and this is more of a recent, thing, but Definity, which is one that was listed, written about back on October 16th, they have been around for a while. They actually just announced kind of more fundraising. They raised more money in early February. I don't believe they are publicly traded. They don't have a publicly traded token yet, to my knowledge. And this is one that is leveraging a lot of the work that Ethereum has done and building out kind of an Ethereum-compatible smart contract platform based off of it. So some of the conclusion there, it is much earlier on, I would say, in the Definity kind of evaluation, but this is definitely one that you'd want to take a look at in a little bit more depth as it continues to grow. And there's also, there's been some potential here. I'll pull this over on Medium here. The founder, Dominic Williams, the president, chief scientist of Definity, they announced their fundraising plans. They had Polychain Capital and Andreessen Horowitz join as investors back on February 7th of this year. And they are also contemplating a larger scale ICO in the future. So Definity is one that is not traded yet, but I would definitely keep an eye on moving forward. Now, as I said before, This is great research to just get an understanding of the subtle differences. Even if you are the biggest EOS fan or the biggest NEO fan in the world, you might want to get a feel for maybe some potential areas in which NEO can improve upon or which EOS can improve upon. You also want to take in mind that some of these articles were written a few months ago in the case of Neo. You know, this was written back on October 29th. Maybe Ed's idea of Neo has changed a little bit as they've continued to improve and garner more adoption. Who knows there? But I do think that this is really important to do as much research as possible on these general platforms, because in my mind, there really is a lot of money at stake with these. If you are investing in crypto and you're looking at this, there is quite a bit of money at stake when you think about Ethereum at $95 billion and the number two platform out there, Cardano, at $10 billion. If this, and this is a massive if, massive, massive if, but if Cardano replaces, or let's say if Cardano or Neo or EOS replaces or just gains market share, let's say Ethereum starts to lose market share, gets cut in half, goes down to a $45 billion market cap, and Neo goes up and is in equivalent to what Ethereum is, you have basically a 5-6x with Neo, and you might lose some market share with Ethereum. So that's something to keep in mind. And again, though, when you get back to the origins of it and the initial portion of this, you do have to keep in mind that in addition to these, you know, platforms that are competing against, there is still a massive possibility that Ethereum can figure out all the issues that are going on. And that is the billion dollar, you know, $10 billion, $50 billion, $100 billion question is, who's going to win? Ethereum, with all the developers working on it, trying to scale in time, trying to innovate faster, or these new guys that are coming out that are either on testnet or on mainnet, but don't have the full functionality or the full features or the number of developers that are working on it, that's something like Ethereum does. So that is a massive, massive point. And I do recommend that you go through the process of researching each one of these articles, reading them in depth, and then drawing your conclusions. I would love to hear your thought process in the YouTube comments. If you're on YouTube or if you're on the podcast, tweet me at @crypto_Bobby. Try to do it after you've read through some of the information. If you want to, you know, let me know your thoughts about which one you'd like most prior to. Definitely let me know that as well. But I do appreciate the thought process. Again, shout out to Spencer Noon for the tweet that originally prompted this. And then also, obviously, a big shout out to Ed Posnack for putting all this free research out there, because that's what it's all about. It's all about learning as much as possible, making your own decisions, and getting as strong of a grasp as you possibly can in this blockchain crypto space. So thank you so much. If you found this helpful at all, hit that subscribe button and the like button as well. And if you are in the podcast, would love a rating and a review moving forward. Thank you so much for your time. Crypto Bobby signing out. Have a good one. Peace.